Okay. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Clinton Macomb Public Library podcast. My name is Megan, and I am here with some special guests today from the Macomb Library for the Blind and Print Disabled because our topic of the day is audiobooks. So I'm Megan. Does everybody else want to introduce themselves for our listening audience?
I'm Anne from the Macomb Library for the Blind.
And I'm Barb. I'm also from Macomb Library for the Blind and Print Disabled.
Hi, I'm Marie. I'm also from the Macomb Library for the Blind and Print Disabled.
So we're excited to have some special guests today. So the first thing is what is an audiobook? If that's what we're going to be talking about, what is it? Well, an audiobook is just a book that you listen to rather than read on your own. So it is very often the complete text of the book. There's no difference in the words or the way things are presented. It's just that it is read to you instead of you reading it on a page. So part of the reason that we have these special guests today, and they'll get to this in a minute, is that there are people who can't read for visual disabilities, but the Macomb Library for the Blind also serves people with physical disabilities who can't maybe hold or turn the pages on a book. And there's lots of different ways to access audiobooks. So through Clinton Macomb, we have books on CD. So you might be familiar with those, but we also have books in a playaway format, which is like a MP3 player that just has one audiobook on it. But we also have downloadable audiobooks. So we have audiobooks that you can get on a computer, a tablet, a phone. Clinton Macomb Public Library offers audiobooks through the Hoopla app, as well as through the Libby app and OverDrive service. And those I really like because you can take them anywhere. I love to listen to audiobooks while I'm folding laundry or doing the dishes. When I go for a walk, I feel like it makes a lot of kind of boring tasks more pleasant and more diverting if I can listen to something while I'm doing them. And I know Macomb Library for the Blind has different ways that you can access audiobooks as well. And Barb, do you want to tell us a little bit about the Macomb Library for the Blind service?
Residents of Macomb County are welcome to apply for services here at the Macomb Library for the Blind and Print Disabled, and that includes anyone who is unable to read or use standard print materials for any of the following reasons. If they are legally blind, or have a visual disability, and by that we usually mean if you need glasses in order to read large print, you would probably qualify for our service, as well as anyone who is totally blind and anyone in between. Also, someone who has a physical disability and is unable to even hold a book, they would also qualify for our services. And that includes people who have Parkinson's, MS, severe arthritis, those types of disabilities that make it very difficult for someone to even hold a book while reading. And finally, a person can also qualify for our service if they have a reading disability. An example of that would be dyslexia. So those are the qualifiers for someone in our service area to sign up for free services for the Macomb Library for the Blind. And Barb, you want to tell everybody what
sure.
we have?
Yes, we have lots of things. Audiobooks, as Anne mentioned, is our main library material that we mail to our patrons' home. Postage free, so patrons don't have to pay for postage to get those books delivered to their home or to return those books. We also offer a talking book player that plays the audio books and downloadable books. We'll talk about Bard, which is similar to Clinton Macomb Public Library's Libby or OverDrive or Hoopla, so I'll get into that in a second. Large print books we do send to patrons who can still read print, but it's got to be large print, and so those are mailed to their homes as well. Audio Describe DVDs, movies, popular movies that you typically watch on Netflix or in a theater, But these movies are audio described, meaning that narrators narrate the scene when the actors are not talking. So they can describe the color of the sky, what the actors are doing when they're not talking. So our patrons are able to enjoy the movie experience just like their sighted friends do. Audio magazines, we also offer Braille books for our Braille readers and magazines. And we also have a adaptive computer workstation in our library. So that includes JAWS software, which is a screen reader, as well as Zoom Text. So we have two computers that our patrons can come into the library to use, as well as an embosser, which allows them to print text in Braille. And also we have Marie, who's not free, she is our tech advisor who offers free computer tutoring to our patrons who want to learn how to use accessibility features on their smartphones, their computers, and last but not least, handheld magnifiers. So people can come into the library to check out handheld magnifiers or even video magnifiers that has magnification from the lowest setting, which is 2x, all the way to 16. As well. So those can be checked out just like our books. And going back to Bard, Bard is our mobile app that our patrons can sign up for. So they just need to fill out an application once they are on our library service to have access to Bard so they can download the app onto their Apple device or Android device or their Fire tablet. So like Hoopla and Libby, users can download books whenever, wherever they are. It doesn't matter what time of day, and they can download books, they can listen to books. And the caveat with that is that with our Bard Mobile app is that these books are never overdue. Once you download the book, you can keep it on your app. And it also includes Braille too. So people with refreshable users who are Braille readers who have a refreshable Braille display can pair their Braille display to their device and download Braille books and read Braille books that way as well.
I know that's one of the really nice things that our patrons like about the downloadable. You can get them anywhere and they're never overdue. I know sometimes with Libby, our patrons have to wait for certain things to become available, but everything is always available on Bard, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so correct. There's no waiting. So that's fine.
Yep, that's another perk.
All right, so we're here to talk about audiobooks. Are we ready to talk about some of our favorites?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so Marie, do you want to let us know something that you have listened to and enjoyed?
Sure. I keep three, I would call them comfort books, and I can listen to at night, so I don't care. I've read them so many times, I'm not concerned about what's happening or where, but it's just a nice soothing read. So three of my favorites are The Dutch House by Anne Hatchett, and that is read by Tom Hanks, or as they say, performed by Tom Hanks, and I think it's excellent. It's a good story, and he's a wonderful reader. Another one that I keep is called The Mountain Between Us by Charles Martin. And that's a story that just hit home with me in many different areas. And I like the way it's narrated. So that's another one of my comfort books. And the third one that I listen to every now and then is News of the World by Paulette Giles. I've read several of the books in her series. And while they do contain some common characters, they are not necessarily linked by storyline, so you can read each book independently. So those are my three favorite comfort books. I would say that listening to audiobooks is, like many things in life, sort of an acquired taste because you have to learn how to listen. And if you're running your world by sight, that doesn't always come completely naturally. But the longer you try them and the longer you listen to them, the better it gets.
Yeah, and I'll say too, there are definitely certain types of books that I like to listen to more than other types of books. So it's funny, I've read both The Dutch House and News of the World, but I haven't listened to them. Although I have heard that Tom Hanks is a wonderful narrator, as one might expect, because he is a wonderful performer.
Yes.
So that makes sense. So I like to listen to nonfiction, but sometimes listening to something that's a little more literary is nice, because you can immerse yourself. Sometimes hearing someone say a complicated sentence makes it easier to understand for me than reading it when I have to parse everything myself.
Yes.
I hate listening to audiobooks where the same thing is said over and over, you know, like they're sort of over-explaining things, because listening takes a little longer than reading and I can't skip ahead and I get very antsy.
Right.
Move it along already.
Another concern people have with audiobooks when they first start listening is that, oh, well, it puts me to sleep. I fall asleep. It doesn't matter. You know, if you think you might be nodding off, set a sleep timer for, let's say, 45 minutes. And when you wake up, just, if you don't think you heard the whole thing, you know, back it up 15 minutes and go from there. So it's, you know, unless you don't set a timer and you pass out for 8 hours, you'll pretty much find your place again. So there's lots of benefits.
I have some book recommendations too, and some of my favorite narrators. So one book that I was really impressed with the narrator was The Middleman by Olin Steinhauer. And this is sort of like almost like a spy book. It wasn't a book that I chose to read on my own. It was a book that we did for our Battle of the Book. So it was something that I, you know, sort of had to read. I got good reviews, but it wasn't something that I was like, oh yes, I'm so excited to read it. It is about a group of people who just sort of walk away from their lives, but then there's this agent who tries to find them and sort of infiltrate to see what they're doing. Are they just, you know, people living off the grid? Are they terrorists? You know, what's happening here? And over the course of the book, as you might expect for something that's sort of a spy novel, it travels, you know, people are from all over the country. There are characters from all over the world. And the narrator is Ari Fliakos, and he is an actor as well. And I just thought he did a fantastic job of making all of the characters really unique and handling all the accents without being over the top with them, so that everybody was really easy to understand, but also distinct. And you could tell that this was someone new that was talking. So whenever I see his name, I feel like I know I'm going to get a good performance.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody else that I really like is Dion Graham. And the first book that I listened to by him was Evicted, which is a nonfiction book about evictions by Matthew Desmond. And again, it was something where there was this really complicated story, people's lives, lots of different characters, and he just made everything really easy to understand. He also read American War by Omar al-Akkad, which is a fairly literary book, kind of intense, but Dion Graham did such a good job of making everything, you know, even characters that you don't really like or that you don't agree with their viewpoints, they just came across as really, I don't want to say sympathetic. Everything was presented very matter-of-factly, even when really terrible things were happening. And I just appreciated kind of a soft touch with that audiobook.
Yeah. I will say that for a series of books, I did listen to the whole Harry Potter series, the American recordings. It was done by the same narrator whose name was Eric something. And it's incredible to me how one person can create so many distinct characters in their voice. It's amazing. And they do an excellent job. And that's a good series.
The Harry Potter series?
Yes.
Yeah, to listen to. If you are into kids' books, I listened to with my son the whole How to Train Your Dragon series by Cressida Cowell, which is narrated by David Tennant, who is a fairly well-known British actor. And he is, if you've seen him act, I feel like I can imagine his facial expressions while he's doing all these different characters. And, you know, series was really good too.
Yeah, there's lots of very, very good series. I'm currently reading the William Kent Kruger series, the Cormac O'Connor series. I think he did 12 books with this character, the former sheriff in Minnesota. And those are all very good. So I read the first six books, and now in books 7, 8, 9, it's a different narrator, and it's jarring all of a sudden to listen to somebody different do it. But it's still a good series. And there are many, many very good series done in audiobooks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's one of the nice things too about the Bard service, or some of the things for the Library for the Blind. And I mean, some of the stuff that we had at one point on CD, if it came out in, 2000, at this point, our CD copy of that might be too damaged to play, right? So audiobooks, physical materials do deteriorate, but the downloadable or stuff through the Macomb Library for the Blind, that stuff is often available, even if our physical materials are no longer available.
So. Right. And if you learn how to use Bard on your own device, one way or another, that means if you wake up at 3 a.m. and say, I would love to read that old James Bond book, you can do it. You can download it. You don't have to wait till something opens. And that's a huge advantage. There's also the download on demand feature that the library now uses. Well, mm-hmm. if you say, you list work with one of the librarians to say, give me these 10 or 12 books, that means 3 a.m. you can say, I think I'll try this one now. So it just gives you a lot of instant gratification while you're trying to find a book to read.
Yeah. There's not always instant gratification with Libby, but we do have a lot of options. So that's nice. And you can get things immediately. Yeah. If you happen to be stuck somewhere, that's nice too.
Right. It's always good to order a book. And even if you have to wait a week or so before it's available, then there's that fun anticipation,
Surprise, it's ready for right. you now.
Right.
Another thing that I look for in audiobooks are full cast recordings. Have you ever listened to a full cast recording?
No, not necessarily. I've read a few by, they're the Amos Decker series. That's the character.
Well,
and they have several characters, but not, I wouldn't call it a full cast recording.
But okay.
No, I have not. Can you recommend a good one?
Yes, I can. Okay. I've got a couple, and they both follow an oral history format. So both of these books are fiction, but they are told in such a way that each person is telling their own story, even if, they're talking about things that happened in the past. So Daisy Jones and the Six is by Taylor Jenkins Reid.
Oh, and okay.
Yeah, it's just about, or it is on Amazon Prime right now.
I think so.
Turned into a show. And The Final Revival of Opal and Nev. So both of these are like oral history books about bands from the 70s. And in each case, a different narrator voices a different character. And every character is telling their own story. Both of those are really fun. And the audio book really lends itself to the audio format because of the way it's set up. There's a nonfiction book called The Only Plane in the Sky, which pulls from the oral histories from the 9/11 memorial, as well as some investigations that were done right after the, 9/11 tragedy, terrorist attack. And that too, everyone is sort of telling their own piece of that day at the Twin Towers, but also at, the Capitol and at the Pentagon building, as well as people who were with the president, George W. Bush, on that day. And so that one was also really kind of intense to listen to. It's mostly voiced by professionals, not the people themselves. But because of the format, it just really lends itself to the audio format.
All right, that's a couple good recommendations. I'll look some of those up. Thank you.
Yeah.
Is there anything? I'm sorry, Megan. I was just going to say one of the things that you and Marie were talking about would be the narrators and so forth. Mm-hmm. I was just going to mention that the National Library Service, who is our parent library for the Library for the Blind, recently had an informal discussion online about what it takes to be a narrator. And they talked to several panelists that were narrators for the National Library Service. And as you mentioned, both you and Marie, that the reader is important and
make or break a book in some cases too, that there is this specific quality for that. And many times we have patrons call our service and say that, oh, they were unable to listen to a book because they didn't care for the narrator, or like Marie mentioned, they were listening to a series and all of a sudden they changed the reader in the middle of the series, and how jarring that is. And that's a, a real thing that really happens. But for the narrators that are hired through NLS, and some of these also read professionally for other audio services, it was interesting to learn what they do in order to prepare themselves for narration. And some of them mentioned that if there is time, they will pre-read the whole book, make notes in the margins, research words they don't recognize, and check pronunciations. So at the time of the recording, they're all set to go. They won't stumble over anything. They'll write notes in the margins to cue themselves for things like pronunciation, or remembering who a character is. So if they're changing voices slightly, they'll kind of remind themselves, you know, who they are at the moment.
And what that person is supposed to sound like.
Yes, yes, to keep track of all of that. And some narrators say, too, that they try to keep track of the experience they are having as the reader. So, for example, they're looking at what is the pace or tone of the author's voice, what setting are they in, and they experience that as a reader first, make notes on it so that they could narrate the book appropriately. And also they made a side note that narrating fantasy books requires some preparation because some words do not even exist, of course, in the English language, let's say, for example, because they're making up their own lands, their own people, their own words.
Sometimes even their own languages, right? If you yes. think about Tolkien or George R.R. Martin.
Yes. And they said, you know, you can't, as a narrator, you can't be surprised by that or caught off guard. So you really have to do your homework when you're going to narrate something like that. And along with that, dialects, they said some narrators are careful on dialects. If they are not proficient at it, if it's a talent they don't really have, they will just try to give a flavor of it, but they don't try to do something they just are not capable of doing, you know, trying to affect an accent that they are just really horrible at. They said they'll just kind of give a little lilt, but they won't go full bore if they know they're if that's not one of their talents. And one of the final things that I thought was a nice quote from the narrator is they said, narrating a book is a bit like a musician interpreting a score. They're taking writing into sound. And what instrumentation do I apply to this song? So I thought that was kind of a neat way of thinking of their job and what they do and how they take it seriously to make sure the product comes out the best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is interesting because they are to some extent interpreting it. And so if it's done well, I feel like it really adds to the experience and I enjoy it. So definitely the good narrators out there, we appreciate you. It's funny when you were talking about dialects, I have certainly heard some audiobooks where I'm thinking, what are they doing for this? You know, Marie.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. But there are many, many, most narrators, you can tell that they have put in the time to make sure that they give a good interpretation of the book.
Right. And if you have a good narrator, even a nonfiction book is interesting. You know, a lot of nonfiction books are pretty much a recitation of facts, but a good narrator can make even that sound interesting. So it's a talent.
Well, I'm going to put in one final plug for a type of audiobook. I love when celebrities read their own memoirs. Right now I'm listening to Molly Shannon's book called Hello, Molly. And they are performers, right? And they're telling their own stories. So I love listening to those. I've listened to Tina Fey's book, Bossy Pants, Amy Poehler's book, Yes, Please, Seth Rogen's book, Yearbook, Tiffany Haddish's book, The Last Black Unicorn. All of these are really fantastic. Oh, Steve Martin had one. I think it was called Born Standing Up. All of these are really, really great if you're looking to kind of dip your toe in, get started with audiobooks. Celebrity memoirs are a great one to start with too.
Yes, because we always want to know more about those kind of people, and their own memoirs are a very good insight.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else we want to say in closing?
Oh, just I'll say just one more time, if anybody out there listening to us knows of somebody who could use our Macomb Library for the Blind service, to please, please give us a call. Call the library and we will fill you more in on what our service involves, and perhaps get you or a loved one back into reading again if they discover that, they need another avenue to get back into the swing of things. Just one more plug for us, Macomb Library for the Blind.
Serving all of Macomb County. And if you do have any other requests for recommendations, or if you need help getting set up with some of the downloadable audiobooks, then pop in and see us. We can help get you set up. Thanks for joining us for today's podcast, and we'll be with you next month. Bye-bye from CMPL and the Macomb Library for the Blind and Print Disabled. Bye.